Town, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Breaking news. The NYPD says a pickup truck in Lower Manhattan has plowed into a group of pedestrians, killing at least two people. Mayor Eric Adams.
It doesn't appear at this time that this was terrorist-related.
Seven others have been hurt near the Williamsburg Bridge on the other side of the island from the Macy's fireworks display. A person of interest is in custody. In Washington, D.C., a musical performance, fireworks, and as WTOP's Jimmy Alexander reports on this July 4th.
People from all around the world line Constitution Avenue here in the nation's capital to watch the National Independence Day Parade, including this couple from down under.
We just wanted to experience Independence Day in its capital, in all its glory.
The Australians like what they see.
And what we're loving is just all the different cultures, the showmanship of everybody. It's phenomenal.
There are no fireworks allowed in the Oroville, California area, where a wildfire that started 2 days ago forces thousands to evacuate. It's now 29% contained. CBS's Elise Preston is there.
The massive wildfire burning near the town of Oroville, California, has consumed at least four structures. But there's another toll. Eight firefighters here have suffered heat-related injuries.
Standing outside here in this heat, how does it feel to you?
If you were to put on all your winter gear to go skiing in 110 degrees and go do some yard work at your house, that's what it's like. They're doing arduous, hard activity in multiple layers of clothing.
Most of California is trapped in an unrelenting heat dome.
Hurricane Beryl has just strengthened back into a Category 3 storm as it nears Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula after leaving a trail of destruction across the eastern Caribbean. The National Hurricane Center said that Beryl now has a maximum winds of 115 miles per hour and is about 160 miles east-southeast of Tulum, Mexico. The United Kingdom is bracing for a major shift in power. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer in London says exit polls are showing a landslide win for the Labour Party.
Its leader is Sir Keir Starmer, a human rights lawyer, and unless every poll in the land is wrong, he will be Britain's new prime minister by this time tomorrow. The outgoing prime minister, Rishi Sunak, called this election in a downpour back in May and then saw poll after poll rain on conservative dreams of staying in power.
President Biden and Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu discuss a deal for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, with Israel announcing it's sending a high-level delegation to Doha for new talks. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden tells Civic Media's Earl Ingram that Donald Trump wants to undo all he's done for black Americans.
I'm sorry to get so worked up, but he is just, he's done terrible things to the community, and he has about as much interest and concern for black and minority communities as the man in the moon does.
Biden says he's appointed black leaders to high positions in government and fostered a boom in black-owned businesses. Biden campaigns in Madison Friday. The leader of the Universities of Wisconsin's second biggest school is stepping down. UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Mone says he plans to return to his faculty position in UWM's business school next spring. Mone was chancellor for 10 years.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks add a free agent. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks signed 30-year-old forward Taurean Prince. Last year with the Lakers, the 6'5" Prince averaged about 9 points a game in 78 appearances. He played for Minnesota before that. Baseball, Brewers making a trade. They sent a prospect infielder, Gregory Barrios, to the Rays for a starting right-handed pitcher, 29-year-old Aaron Civale. Last night, the Crew with a 3-0 win over the Rockies. The first shutout for Milwaukee at Coors Field since 2005. Christian Yelich with a home run, named as a starter in the upcoming All-Star game, along with catcher William Contreras. Colin Ray pitching 7 innings in the shutout.
Code Red, we call him Code Red. He was sensational and really efficient. I think he went more down and away fastball than he normally does, and you'd have to ask him, but I don't think he threw as many cutters.
Yeah, it was a late night. That's manager Pat Murphy. They wrap up the 4-game series tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mother Nature footing the bill for this fireworks show. Some showers and storms for the overnight. Lower 60s by daybreak. Some of the rain, locally heavy. We're not done with the rain on Friday. Showers, still a storm chance around. Highs in the mid and upper 60s. Currently 62 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is off, but I, Greg Bach, am hosting in her stead. We welcome Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, as well as Civic Media's very own Luke Mathers. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
And the Ad Council.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
John, bad King John, shame the throne that he sat on. Not a scruple, not a straw, cared this monarch for the law. Promises he daily broke, none could trust a word he spoke. So the barons brought a deed down to rushy Runnymede. Magna Carta was at height. Charter of the people's right. Framed and fashioned to correct kings who act with disrespect. And with stern and solemn air, pointing to the parchment there, sign, 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 they said, sign, King John, or resign instead. John, turning pale, ground his teeth and bit his nail, chewed his long mustache, and then ground and bit and chewed again. Plague upon the people, he muttered. What are they to me? Plague upon the barons, too. Here he had another chew. But the barons standing by eyed him with a baleful eye. Not a finger did they lift, not an eyelash did they shift. But with one tremendous roar, even louder than before, sign, 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 they said, sign, King John, or resign instead. It is Bad King John by Eleanor Farjan. This country has been part of an arc of history away from a king. An arc of history that one might argue began even pre-village, with the person who could offer the greatest physical strength and protection against an animal or a neighboring small tribe, and then one who could marshal a military so they could take over neighboring small tribes as well as protect against others, and kill and eventually husband, eventually domesticate the animals. And moving along through millennia and then centuries, towards a time we realized that that degree of physical tyranny was not only necessary, not only less necessary and less necessary, but even destructive if you wanted to be the strongest tribe. Because people really wouldn't want to live in your country or work for your company. People wouldn't want to play your reindeer games. Even if they did, they wouldn't work as hard, they wouldn't live as joyous a lives, and once they had some choice, they wouldn't choose that. And so nations were developed. Democracy as an idea. The idea that we are stronger together than we are apart. The idea that maybe we don't need a king. It's okay to have an assigned leader, someone who can make ultimate judgments on things that require ultimate judgment, that is useful. But even that should be limited. Even that should be subject to laws. Even that should be subject to accountability, potentially even punishment. It should be based on a set of principles. Those principles should be interpreted in fealty to the highest notions of that nation. Where are we at now? Where are we at now? We had a bad king. That king was voted out. That king still claims that he wasn't voted out after trying to get his most loyal to him, disloyal to the nation, subjects to overturn the democracy. Not metaphorically, but physically. Going back to the habits of a tribal chieftain of a millennia gone by. To say, these people think me strong. I will use that strength to inflict harm upon my enemies. I will beat my chest. I will be the bad team on the modern Planet of the Apes remake. Where are we now? I think we have a good king now. He's an old king. He's King Jaehaerys from House of Dragons. He has limited his powers. He has not, in fact, imprisoned his enemies. He has recused himself even from deliberations about that potential imprisonment. I want to go to an excellent article in the current Atlantic, I believe came out today. It came out yesterday. It got to me today. It is by Yale law professor Akhil Amar. Law professors are in an interesting position right now because they understand as well or better than anybody the threat that this Supreme Court is posing to democracy and to the nation and to history and to the world. They understand it. But it is their job to teach the law. They maybe should have gone into life as advocates, but the problem is life as an advocate, life as a public advocate, life as an activist can be brutish and hard. It can be solitary. It can be poor. It can be rarely thanked. I wouldn't say thankless, but I would say far too rarely thanked. And lacking in prestige. There are far too few super activists who get famous and can go back to their law school reunion thumping their chest about their great victories. Most of the victories will be local. Most of them will be heard from their Yale Law School classmates. From this, by the way, I can speak from personal experience, not about Yale. The conundrum that law professors find themselves in is how do they teach? How do they be honest about this when we have, for 40, 50 years, really ever since Brown versus Board of Education, been able to be at law schools and be proud on net of jurisprudence, be proud of Nixon versus the United States when eight Rehnquist recused himself. When unanimous justices, I should say, rather than cleaving to the number, including three appointed by Nixon, came together and said, we shall not have a king. We shall have a presidency that is accountable and is a presidency under the law rather than over the law. Akhil Amar says, forget Donald Trump, forget Joe Biden, think instead about the Constitution. What does this document, the supreme law of our land, actually say about lawsuits against ex-presidents? Nothing remotely resembling what Chief Justice John Roberts and five associate justices declared in the disappointing decision, Trump versus the United States. The court's curious and convoluted majority opinion turns the Constitution's text and structure inside out and upside down, saying things that are flatly contradicted by the document's unambiguous letter and obvious spirit. He then gives a hypothetical where David Dealer commits serious drug crimes and then bribes President Jane Jones to pardon him. Under this decision, because it would be viewed an official act, a core function of the presidency to grant pardons, that would be absolutely immune from prosecution. We're not even talking about the extreme cases of what putting one's political enemies in Guantanamo Bay or assassinating them. A more garden variety bribe, if not for a Clarence Thomas Supreme Court opinion, than for a pardon. A garden variety bribe, or maybe not so garden variety, maybe a ranch variety bribe. And not only would it be immune, but evidence about the motivation for that pardon would be inadmissible under the court's decision. And of course, that's the only way you could, in fact, prosecute or investigate such a thing. Do we have a king? We shouldn't.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
202-808-9925. It is Watch Your Language Wednesday. It is Anything Goes Wednesday. It is Patriotism Wednesday.
Do you love watching television? If you're on a fixed budget, you need to make this free call right now to Dish and find out how you can get a fixed monthly price to watch all the television you want for 3 full years, in addition to a 3-year price guarantee.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
The book, oh, well, actually, you can find all the information over at joyannreid.com. We'll be right back.
Do you know Cesar Millan? He was the original host of the Emmy-nominated TV series The Dog Whisperer and is the star of the newest hit show, Better Human, Better Dog. He's a legendary dog behaviorist with multiple hit TV shows where he basically transforms troubled dogs into calm, carefree pups. And if there's one thing this man knows, it's how to care for dogs the right way. That's why I was so excited to find out which food he feeds his dogs. It's Nature's Blend from Dr. Marty Pets. Knowing Cesar Millan relies on this freeze-dried raw food to help keep his own pack healthy makes me feel even more excited about giving it to Blue and Chewy. Because since I started feeding Nature's Blend to them, they just seem so much younger and happier. I also like how it's easy to prepare. There's no messy pouches to squeeze. Save up to 54% off of Nature's Blend and receive a free bag of Cod Krispies, their wild-caught codskin treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom, T-H-O-M, to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Text fees may apply.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
A remote Brazilian tribe deep in the Amazon rainforest was recently able to access the internet for the first time ever. Tribe leaders say that they almost immediately had to institute time limits or nothing would get done.
You know, we don't hunt fish and plant crops. Mm-hmm. We're going to die because we don't have any food. And guess what, everyone? Amazon does not deliver to the Amazon. So, which is kind of an oversight on their part.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on locally grown radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. A lot of financial chatter is focused on the stock market. Is it up? Is it down? Is it a bull market? Is it a bear market? The Dow just hit a record high. But how much should people like me and you really care about these daily updates? The answer? Not very much. Most of those daily highs and lows come from small-scale events that just don't mean that much to the broader U.S. economy. And the stock market is not the economy. For most of us, long-term growth is what really matters for retirement. Now, if you are one of the richest 10% of Americans who own 93% of all the stock, you can ignore this message. But for the rest of us, we're going to get more done by keeping an eye on our spending and savings than we are by paying attention to Wall Street. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, take good care.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee. Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. And welcome back. Our guest is Joanne Reed, the host of the MSNBC program, The Readout, must-watch television, and she has a new book. It's just an absolutely wonderful read. It's heartwarming and horrifying at the same time, in part because of the era Medgar and Murley, Medgar Evers and the love story that awakened America. We were just talking about the house on Gine Street where he ultimately was assassinated right in front of the house. Can you tell me about some of the white allies who were working with him? You wrote about Hazel Brannon Smith and Reverend Ed King, for example.
Yeah, so Hazel Smith was a remarkable character. She was a newspaper woman, and she actually published three different, you know, general market white newspapers. But she was one of the white people who partnered with Medgar, because one of the things that really bothered him as a kid growing up in Mississippi is that when someone was lynched, including a friend of his father's when he was about 11 years old, no one would say anything about it. It's like the person just dissolved into the earth, and black people were too afraid to say anything. There were no protests. There were no, you know, speeches about the person in church. The person would just disappear and no one would say anything out of real just terror and fear. And so his thing was, you know what, if there are going to be lynchings and there are going to be murders and there's going to be discrimination, we need to be able to talk about it. So he founded this newspaper called the Mississippi Free Press, and he needed someone to print it. And this white woman volunteered to print it. She had been pro-segregation but changed her mind after Brown v. Board and decided to become an ally. And she became the scourge of white society. She was no longer invited to be a part of white society, but then she would have these amazing dinner parties and have black people there, you know, and so she just was this sort of Renaissance woman who completely flipped her views and became an ally. The other person is Reverend Ed King, who was actually in many ways the closest advisor to Medgar Evers. He and John Salter, who was a white presenting indigenous man, but he looked white, so he lived as a white man. And Reverend King was a confidant of Medgar Evers, and he met him when Ed King was actually in college, and Medgar would bring together students at Black Tougaloo University and Alcorn together to have these interracial conversations and to help young white students understand the way black people live, because while they lived in the same city, because of segregation, they knew nothing about what black people dealt with and what they went through. And as Ed King became closer to Medgar Evers, Medgar actually encouraged him to eventually become the chaplain at All Black Tougaloo University. So there were, you know, white people involved intimately in this movement. And, you know, Medgar's father used to say, there are three kinds of white people. They were the white people who would kill you just as soon look at you. There were the white people who would be your ally and, you know, go into the fire with you. And then there were the what you would call sort of the useless kind of moderates who would see the injustice, think it's wrong, but do nothing about it. And so I think that's literally a story of what the movement was. It was an interracial movement, but the white allies who were willing to take part in it really were heroic, because they were risking becoming, you know, an anathema to their community, becoming outcasts, and also risking also being killed, as we saw as Mr. Goodman and Mr. Schwerner were ultimately murdered in 1965.
And Mr. Cheney.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Cheney was the local. And by the way, the funny thing about it is I call Medgar Evers the Forrest Gump of American history, of American civil rights history, because he's like involved in all these stories that you don't think he would be. James Cheney, who was the 20-year-old black man who was killed with Goodman and Schwerner, was actually a young NAACP activist. His first act of civic activism was as a member of the NAACP Youth Leagues, stitching a hand-drawn NAACP membership's patch onto his clothing as a high school student and getting expelled. And he, and you know, Medgar trained a lot of these young activists who later participated in things like the Freedom Rides. He was involved in the Woolworth sit-in that was the most violent and famous sit-in that Mr. Salter was a part of. He trained a lot of the young activists who actually became civil rights leaders, both black and white.
Yeah, it's a remarkable story. You talk about the Tougaloo 9 and also about the FBI and the wiretaps and whatnot that he was constantly under. We've got about 2 minutes to a hard break I can't control. So your thoughts on those?
Very quickly, and the thing is that the wiretaps weren't even the FBI. They were a state-controlled spy agency called the Sovereignty Commission. And he tried to tell the FBI that his phone was tapped, and they never did anything about it and didn't believe him. So it was a constant state of surveillance, including some black folks that were taking money from the Sovereignty Commission to watch other people. It was a time of pure horror. It was the most dangerous state to be black in America. And so Medgar Evers is a singular hero, but he couldn't have done it without Murley, who was his secretary, sounding board, the person who would read over his speeches and let him practice them with her. And they were a duo. And that's really the reason I wrote the book. That love story enabled him to do what he did. And then she took up the mantle afterwards and ensured justice for that killer, and also that the legacy of Medgar would go on.
Yeah, I thought one of the moments that really hit me was toward the end of the book when she was running politically and a member of the Beckwith family came in and said, "I'm a member of the Beckwith family."
Yeah, and he had been stalking her.
Yeah.
So yeah, when she moved to California, she still was never too far away from the sort of ramifications of that murder. It followed her, and she was very determined to get justice from the moment that the assassination happened until 30 years later when Byron Dilla Beckwith was sentenced to life in prison.
Yeah, finally. I mean, you know, finally it consumed, it just wrapped up, but you have written an absolute masterpiece. It's rare that biographies are just so moving and so information filled. The book is Medgar and Murley, Medgar Evers and the Love Story That Awakened America. The author, of course, Joanne Reed, the host of the Reout on MSNBC. Joanne Reed, thank you so much for dropping by today. It's great talking.
Thank you, Tom. It's such an honor. It's so great to get to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure and my honor too. Thank you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Be back with more of the news of the day and your calls on the other side of the break here. Stay with us. My experience with Superbeats Healthy Heart Chews is that they are powerful for healthy blood pressure. You know, they feature grapeseed extract, beetroot powder, and CoQ10. I feel like I'm doing something very good for my blood pressure and heart health every day when I take them. Plus, with no pills to swallow, they taste wonderful. Paired with a healthy lifestyle, the grapeseed extract in Superbeats is clinically shown to be nearly 2 times more effective at promoting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. New Superbeats Heart Chews Advanced supports healthy CoQ10 levels as well, an important nutrient for heart health. Find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles of new Superbeats Heart Chews Advanced and save 15% for a limited time only by going to superbeatsradio.com and using the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M. That's superbeatsradio.com, promo code TOM. superbeatsradio.com, promo code TOM.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. July 4th celebrations have included parades nationwide in Three Lakes, Wisconsin.
It's wonderful. The planes going by, the fire engines, the kids waiting for the candy. It's fantastic.
And now the fireworks. Four reported shark attacks in South Padre Island, Texas today. In one case, a shark appears to have taken a significant portion of the victim's legs. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez in Deerfield Beach, Florida, reporting.
This is just the latest shark attack this year. So far nationwide, there have been at least 15 reported incidents, five of those here in Florida.
Hurricane Beryl is heading toward Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula with winds of 115 miles per hour. Mike Brennan of the National Hurricane Center on the storm surge.
The waters are going to start to rise ahead of the landfall because Beryl has generated this very large wave field that's racing out ahead of the hurricane. And those large breaking waves are going to start to reach the coast this evening, well in advance of the landfall.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A judge in Madison is striking down parts of Act 10, the state law that took away collective bargaining rights for most public workers. Dane County Judge Jacob Frost says parts of the law violate the constitutional right to equal protection because law enforcement was exempted. It's not clear exactly how Wednesday's ruling will be applied. There's more law enforcement out on the water this holiday weekend, making sure people are boating sober. Savannah Tomei Olson has more on Operation Dry Water.
Please be careful on the water this weekend. Since the project began in 2009, law enforcement has gotten more than 6,000 drunk boaters off the water. The DNR says wear life vests and have a designated driver. Alcohol is a leading factor in boating deaths. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
That's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Matthew Perry had over $1.5 million in his personal bank account at the time of his death. People magazine reports that the late actor wanted his items to be put in an account named the Alvy Singer Living Trust. Alvy Singer was the name of Woody Allen's character in Annie Hall. His full list of assets has not yet been disclosed. An investigation into Perry's death by the LAPD, DEA, and U.S. Postal Inspector is nearing a conclusion. There is nothing like being on a reality competition show as a celebrity contestant and then wanting nothing to do with it. Such is the case with Jason Mraz. He told Jesse Tyler Ferguson on his Dinners on Me podcast that he thought he would only be part of the show for 2 or 3 weeks before being voted off, but then realized he was one of the better dancers and would be there the entire time. He says he missed his cat so much he wanted out and started asking his friends not to vote for him. Despite this, he still made it to the final round. Not a fan of cats, but I admire the conviction. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mother Nature footing the bill for this fireworks show. Some showers and storms for the overnight. Lower 60s by daybreak. Some of the rain locally heavy. We're not done with the rain on Friday. Showers, still a storm chance around. Highs in the mid and upper 60s. Currently 62 degrees.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is off, but I, Greg Bach, am hosting in her stead. We welcome Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, as well as Civic Media's very own Luke Mathers. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Know that you are sufficiently Christian to be worthy of being elected. Right. MAGA Mike is one of these seven mountain evangelicals. There are seven domains where these dominionists believe that we need to have religion completely take them over. Education, religion, family, business, government and military, arts and entertainment, and the media. Seriously. This is not what Jesus was preaching when he said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar and unto God what is God's. This is the opposite, in fact, of what Jesus was teaching. It's the opposite of Matthew 25, where Jesus said, the only way to get to heaven is by feeding the hungry, healing the sick, helping the poor. This is counter-Christian, anti-Christian, in fact. In fact, I think you could say it is the Antichrist's work. There's a piece about it over at HartmanReport.com. Check it out. Welcome back, 35 minutes past the hour. I've had a number of callers to this program call up and just rave about Tim Alberta's new book, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory, American Evangelicals in an Age of Extremism. And so we got a copy of the book, and we got Tim Alberta on the line with us, and he's going to spend a little time with us walking through it. He's a journalist and author, obviously his most recent book, American Carnage. He's a staff writer for The Atlantic. The new book, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory, American Evangelicals in an Age of Extremism, buytimalberta.com is his website, BY, and Tim Alberta on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. And Tim, welcome to the program. Thanks for dropping by today.
Hi, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us. So walk us through this, if you don't mind. Where do you start with in this journey in The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory?
Yeah, I suppose the best place to start is at the beginning. I was born a pastor's kid, and my dad ran a large church. Well, it was a pretty small church when I was young, but became a large church in the Detroit suburbs in Brighton, Michigan, which is where I grew up. And I was always a faithful follower of Jesus. I still am. As I grew older, I began to become a bit disillusioned with just the institutions of Christianity in this country, and that set me off on some soul searching to do. But I never really thought I'd write about any of that, any of my own struggles with the church. But when my dad died very unexpectedly about 4 years ago, I faced something rather unexpected, which was basically some confrontations, some ugliness at his funeral from folks who I'd grown up with, folks at the church who I'd known my whole life, who didn't really think that I was a Christian anymore because of the way that I'd criticized Donald Trump, my writings about the Republican Party. And that was an eye-opener for me. Not that I didn't realize that that there was some of that dark underbelly of the church, but that it was hitting now so close to home. And on an occasion such as that one, it sort of it hurt and it bewildered me, but it was also very eye-opening and sort of set me out on this journey.
It seems, you know, we've talked with Frank Schaefer about this, whose father was one of the founders of the modern right and was right in the middle of that. We've had a number of conversations with him over the years. It seems that the people who were true believers, who were really within the movement or very close to it, become the most disillusioned when they discover the depths of the hypocrisy, I guess is the best word, of the modern day evangelical movement mixing religion and politics. In your book, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory, we're talking to Tim Albert about his brilliant new book. Obviously this goes all the way back to the founding and long, you know, back millennia, right? Arguably the Bible is about the merger of church and state, throughout. But, after the Salem witch trials and just all the crisis that was going on, particularly in Massachusetts, which almost didn't get admitted as a state to the Union until they changed their policies around mandatory tithing to churches. The founders kind of repudiated this idea, or aggressively repudiated it, particularly Jefferson and Madison, who were most outspoken about it, and Ben Franklin. But now there's been this, more recent move to integrate church and state, integrate church and state. Where is the foundation of this, and how do you see this having reshaped both church and state in America, and why should we be concerned about that? A lot there, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what we see, I think, is sort of an unholy alliance here between bad history and bad theology. So, and I write about this in the book, the bad history, which is it's not crackpot fringe stuff. It's much more mainstreamed now than I think many of us want to realize. But you have figures like David Barton, who I write about in the book, who have very successfully infiltrated churches and schools and legislative bodies around the country and made this argument that really we were not founded as a country that simply appreciated and took inspiration from Judeo-Christian ethics and ideals, but that, no, we were, in fact, born to be a Christian nation, and that the framers really were being sort of coy and clever when they pieced together some of our founding documents, and they were doing one big wink and nod at us, but in fact they intended us to be a Christian nation, and that really it should be our goal as Christians to reclaim America as an explicitly Christian nation, that Christians should be not only making their voice heard in the public square, but that this should be a government of Christian laws, that our institutions should be run by Christians, and that the country is for Christians. That is sort of the great, reclamation project for many on the modern right, whether it's David Barton and Chad Connolly with their American Restoration Tour, or Michael Flynn with his Reawaken America Tour. That is very much the common goal here. And the reason that I say that then sort of walks hand in hand with bad theology is if you become convinced of that bad history, in fact, being true, then that creates a sort of implicit justification, maybe not even implicit justification, for you to believe that this nation is in covenant with the Almighty, that we are very much a biblical Israel, and that by fighting for this idealized nation of America, this Christian America, that you are fighting for God himself. And that is the place at which many folks have now arrived in this country today. And you can understand the sort of religious fanaticism that becomes then infused into our everyday partisan political disputes.
And I think it's important to point out that David Barton literally makes up quotes, takes things out of context, and has really achieved a significant position of power in the right and in the GOP. I mean, I believe he was an advisor to DeSantis's state, was he not?
I'm not sure if he had an official affiliation with DeSantis, but he ran Ted Cruz's super PAC in 2016. He's the former vice chairman of the Texas Republican Party. He has deep ties to the Republican Party.
Right. So you've got a political party here now that's trying to say basically God is on our side, and if you believe in God, you need to be with us. An awful lot of that was not the case pre-1980, was it? Was it not the Reagan campaign that really embraced, the Falwell, the Ralph Reed crowd and brought them into the GOP, or was there something that preceded that?
No, I mean, that's mostly right. I mean, what you're looking at in the 1970s is really sort of the formation of the modern religious right. And that's happening in different settings. You've got, mega churches and televangelists who are becoming more powerful and raising a lot of money and suddenly using direct mail and TV and radio to reach the masses and organize them, mobilize them, fundraise from them. And then you've got Christian colleges popping up, some of which are really becoming more aggressive in their sort of aims to not just offer a Christian education, but to kind of serve as a training ground for the culture war and to use those universities to advance more partisan aims. And then you've got, organizations, activist organizations on the right that are forming, that some of which, many of which actually are really quite secular in nature, but they see the opportunity, they sense that the missing piece of the coalition here to put Republicans in a more advantageous position electorally is to mobilize the millions of fundamentalist Christians who have not been voting traditionally, because that was, it's easy to forget now, but that was for generations, really, the separatist practice in fundamentalism was that many fundamentalists believed it wasn't even their job to vote, that they were citizens of heaven, and therefore they don't have to concern themselves with civic duties such as voting and politics. So anyway, that's really all forming in the 70s, and then Carter's election in 76 is what gets a lot of these guys off the sidelines. And of course, the irony being that Carter was himself a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher who was the first self-described evangelical, really, in modern history to win the presidency.
Right.
But it was those 4 years of Carter that really created this movement to come together in ways that we had never seen before. And then, of course, Reagan becomes the chief beneficiary of it.
Yeah. Was Carter pushing that?
Was he pushing what?
The idea that, hey, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, vote for me because I'm a Christian. I thought he kind of backed away from that quite a bit.
Carter actually, in some ways, he did a little bit of both. He almost tried to have it both ways, because he would, in certain audiences, wear it quite openly on his sleeve. But then he would also give interview. He gave the interview to Playboy magazine famously where, we were trying to search. Which, of course, the great irony was that interview to Playboy in 76, Jerry Falwell Sr. really seized upon that and held it up as evidence, exhibit A, of the nation's decline, its civilizational moral decay. And then 50 years later, in 2016, it's Jerry Falwell Jr. posing with Donald Trump in front of a framed cover of Playboy in his Trump Tower suite. That on the same day that Falwell Jr. had vouched for Trump's character in front of this ballroom full of evangelicals in New York. So that story, that 50-year arc there, tells you a lot about where we've been.
What an irony. Hang on just a second.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We're talking to Tim Alberta about his new book, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory. We'll be right back with Tim in just a second. Stay with us.
Watching television? If you're on a fixed budget, you need to make this free call right now to Dish and find out how you can get a fixed monthly price to watch all the television you want for 3 full years. In addition to a 3-year price guarantee, you can also get free monthly movie rentals. They give you one free movie rental every month. That's a $165 value, yours free. Plus, get free in-home tech visits, no-cost equipment replacements, a free voice remote, and you can watch commercial-free TV. Even access all your favorite apps to stream, like Netflix, Amazon Prime, YouTube, and more. Now is the perfect time to call Dish. Take advantage of the 3-year price guarantee. Save yourself some money, and all your equipment is free. Call right now.
800-478-5560. 800-478-5560. 800-478-5560. That's 800-478-5560. Paid for by NPS.
The morning show on WFHR. It's delicious.
Peanut butter and jelly should be squidgy.
Oh, I know a lot of people. Yeah. It's,
and my, on the good squidgy white bread.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the way it's got
to
be.
My sister felt the same way. It's got to be, the middle especially for her had to be just a mush.
You guys, as fascinating as this conversation is, yes. One very big thing you just missed there. Mm. Melissa just said the word squidgy on the air.
yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
I mean, what the what?
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on WFHR.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather-related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state, and it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade, and if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Some researchers have explored the impact of melatonin-enriched milk on sleep because it comes from cows milked at night.
Ooh.
Night milk has been shown to improve symptoms of insomnia in some people.
Night milk. Yeah. We should try some night milk.
Night milk. Yeah.
I would love to actually talk to somebody who actually does this. If this is like a new avenue for milk growers.
How about that?
Milk producers, I should say.
Yep.
Milk doesn't grow on trees. I learned that when I was 20.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on locally grown radio. The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
A remote Brazilian tribe deep in the Amazon rainforest was recently able to access the internet for the first time ever. Tribe leaders say that they almost immediately had to institute time limits or nothing would get done.
You know, we don't hunt fish and plant crops. Mm-hmm. We're going to die because we don't have any food. And guess what, everyone? Amazon does not deliver to the Amazon. So, which is kind of an oversight on their part.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on locally grown radio.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. So a lot of people are wondering, why is it in America that we can't have nice things? Why don't we have, you know, the same things every other democracy has? Every other democracy in the world has a national health care system of some form, and everybody is covered. We don't. We've got 27 million uninsured people and over 100 million underinsured people. Why is that? Why is it that every other country in the world offers college education very inexpensively, if not for free, and for here you go to debt? Why is it that we've got our public schools crumbling and other countries are doing well? Why is it that we've got Medicare being taken apart by this Medicare Advantage scam and nobody will do anything about it? Well, it turns out the reason why it boils down to one thing, one Supreme Court decision, Citizens United, legalizing the bribery of our politicians. There's a whole rant about this over at HartmanReport.com. I think you're going to find it very, very useful. Check it out. Welcome back. Tim Alberta is with us. We're talking about his new book, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory. Tim, you and I were just talking a moment ago about, you know, the vision for a new America that these guys are holding, and you suggested that they kind of want to take us back to the Leave It to Beaver 1950s when, you know, they thought things were more godly and, you know, they were putting the In God We Trust on the coins and all that kind of stuff. But it seems like there's a much darker aspect to this. I mean, you've got states now passing laws, these bounty laws that people can track down women who've had abortions and sue them. You've got the Attorney General Ken Paxton of Texas, who has now gone to two different states and demanded that they provide records of any care to transgender people in those states to him in Texas, so that he can, you know, if there's family, so he can basically harass people. I mean, this is not the friendly Christianity that I remember of the 1950s. I was a big fan of Billy Graham's crusades when I was a little kid. This is not that Christianity, or is it?
No, well, listen, I think what we have to recognize is perhaps the biggest change that we've seen in American Christianity, certainly in this past generation, but I would argue maybe even over the past 50 or 60 years. There's always been this fear of kind of being under siege, that one day they would come for us, they being the outside world, the secularists, the progressives, the pagans, the government, that they're, you know, that they are one day going to put Christianity in the crosshairs, and that we'd better be ready for it, because there's going to be a fight between the good, God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians and all of those wicked people on the outside who want to come for us. That stuff has always sort of been floating out there in the ether, and I think depending on the level of maturity and seriousness of the Christian, they either buy into that kind of thing or they don't. I think what's changed is the degree to which now so many Christians are no longer willing to sit back and let them, quote unquote, come for us, but rather that they believe it's time to go on the offensive. They believe that this now must be a fight that they are going to take to the outside world. And I think that much of that is rooted in a belief, and I've had so many people say this to me, and I talk about it in the book, obviously, that this is no longer a struggle between the right and the left, between the Republicans and Democrats, that this is good versus evil now.
Yeah.
And that if it is good versus evil, that you cannot negotiate with evil. You must just, evil must be defeated. And so when you start to think of our everyday partisan politics in those zero-sum terms, then suddenly everyone who disagrees with you becomes your enemy. The problem, of course, with that thinking, well, there are a lot of problems with it, but the core theological problem for the Christian with those with thinking that way is that, you know, you are supposed to, you are commanded to love your enemy. You are commanded to pray for your enemy and for those who might persecute you. You are commanded to turn the other cheek and to treat the outside world with a grace and a mercy and a compassion and an unconditional love that points those people back to your Father in heaven. I mean, those are not abstract.
No, that's the mandate.
Teachings.
That's the mandate.
That's the,
Tim, I'm sorry, we're out of time, but it's a brilliant book, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory by Tim Alberta. Thank you. Hang on just a second, Tim.
The Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9920.
Guy always steps on me. Thank you so much, Tim, for dropping by today. Great having you on.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Brilliant book.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Do you know Cesar Millan? He was the original host of the Emmy-nominated TV series The Dog Whisperer and is the star of the newest hit show, Better Human, Better Dog. He's a legendary dog behaviorist with multiple hit TV shows where he basically transforms troubled dogs into calm, carefree pups. And if there's one thing this man knows, it's how to care for dogs the right way. That's why I was so excited to find out which food he feeds his dogs. It's Nature's Blend from Dr. Marty Pets. Knowing Cesar Millan relies on this freeze-dried raw food to help keep his own pack healthy makes me feel even more excited about giving it to Blue and Chewy. Because since I started feeding Nature's Blend to them, they just seem so much younger and happier. I also like how it's easy to prepare. There's no messy pouches to squeeze. Save up to 54% off of Nature's Blend and receive a free bag of Cod Krispies, their wild-caught cod skin treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom, T-H-O-M, to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is off, but I, Greg Bach, am hosting in her stead. We welcome Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, as well as Civic Media's very own Luke Mathers. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.